Today, we're going to talk about transitions. We're going to talk about trauma, addiction, recovery, family, sisterhood, and taking agency in our own lives. This is Women's Focus. I'm Taya Jay. I talked a little bit about this last week about a term known as liminality. Liminality is derivative of the Latin word limen, which means threshold. Today, we're going to talk about what it means for us as individuals to cross thresholds and make transitions. I'm joined in the studio by Celeste, Calandra, and Nia. I'm going to let them introduce themselves in just a second, but first I want to tell you a little bit about them. These three incredible women are part of a program called Crossroads for Women here in Albuquerque. If you were listening to the show last week, you might have heard Susan Lube's interview with Casey Quirk, who is executive director of Crossroads. Crossroads for Women is a program that works to interrupt cycles of homelessness and incarceration amongst New Mexico's women by providing transitional housing facilities, teaching vocational skills, communication, and life skills, and providing tools and support to help individuals become more stable and self-sufficient in the world. Now I'm going to let these ladies introduce themselves. So Celeste, let's begin with you.
Hi, my name is Celeste. I'm in Maya's Place right now. It's a transitional program to Crossroads. And I've been a part of the Crossroads family for about 5 years now. So.
And how did you end up at Crossroads?
First, I was incarcerated. I picked up charges and I did quite a while in jail. And the first time I did my application and I got it right away. And I waited 6 months to get in. And then the second time, I picked up more charges, of course. And Miss Corey actually was there. When I seen her face, I started crying when I was in jail. I was like, please let me come back, you know. And she was actually really great and got me the application. I had to do a bunch of paperwork and stuff, essays to write to find out where I really am in my life. So.
And how long have you been there?
This time I got there in September, I believe.
Great. Calandra, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, I'm Calandra. I am currently at Maya's Place as well. I've just started, actually. I've been there going on my fourth day. I like it so far, so good. I got recommended to this program. I was incarcerated for a while, I guess you can say. I was incarcerated for a few months, and I thought this program would bring me to something I needed, life on life's term. But I like the program I just hope I, you know, learn from the support and everybody there.
The community,
yeah. The community, yes.
And Arnelia, who's letting me call her by her nickname, Nia, will you introduce yourself to us?
Yeah, hello. My name is Arnelia. A lot of people call me Nia. They're at the program. I've been a part of Maya's Place for about two and a half months since Thanksgiving. I relapsed and I was currently on pretrial services. So I went and picked up an accessory charge. And I've been here in Albuquerque, you know, doing my thing and becoming an independent person. And, you know, Maya's Place has given me a lot of, a lot of support, a lot of motivation, encouragement,
resources.
Yeah, a lot of resources that brought me to finally realize, you know, that, you know, it's great to be a part of the sisterhood that they have there, you know. And, you know, Corey was the one who did my intake, and my probation officer actually, he insisted I be part of this program.
And he did a lot to get you there, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did. He snuck me the papers in during court. But, you know, all in all, everything is going so good so far with me. and the program, and a lot of the girls there, you know, a lot of them give you encouragement. You know, if you need, feel like you need to talk to any one of them, you can go to whoever. You know, that's what the sisterhood is about, for recovered addicts, for women who are there within Crossroads and Hope House, Maya's Place. And I believe there's two other places. I forget what they're called.
The Pavilions.
The Pavilions?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's also another one I forget, but everything's good so far. You know, I'm glad to be here today and to say whatever I could say.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like Crossroads provides all of you a good sense of community, a good sense of support, and sort of a net. When you first arrived at Crossroads, what were some of the fears? What were some of the hopes in committing to being a part of this program and agreeing to do the things that allow you to stay in the program? So who wants to respond to that?
Nia, I'll go ahead and respond.
Awesome.
Well, for me, when I showed up, you know, I was nervous. I was nervous and I was like overwhelmed, like, oh, man, I have to be here. You know, I wonder what I have to do. But I came in during the evening group that we had a meeting there. And my fiance came and brought me some pizza. So I went and shared, you know, Little Caesar's pizza during the meeting. And, you know, everybody got to know me and, you know, another girl who had arrived the same day I did there. And it was good, you know. After a couple of days, I kind of got the hang of everything. And you have to get used to the schedule they have there for your everyday groups and stuff you need to take care of. You also have your outside life too as well. So
right. So will someone tell me a little bit about the schedule that you do have? You have certain times that you're allowed to go out into the world. You get passes. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And the time that you spend in Maya's Place, what are some of the things that you're working on? What are some of the things that you are doing? Yeah, Calandra.
Okay, so I started like 4 days ago. So basically I'm a freshman there, and I have a 30-day thing.
Yeah,
30, and then we have level sheets. So, you know, I have a buddy with me for the past 30 days. You can't have your phone and visiting. Whatever, you know, you would like as a privileges, but it's pretty much what
for freshman level you have like a buddy system. So the freshmen are the most important people, you know, just like how like you give them the support. They need to go take care of some things, you know, you schedule it a week before. And we do scheduling according to whoever, the whole group, we do it together. And whoever's available, we have a freshman level, sophomore level, junior level, senior level, and the independent level.
Individual,
I'm sorry. And right now I'm on a sophomore level. Lately I've been kind of showing Calandra how the whole system works, the buddy system, and you can't have visits on freshman level.
Mm-hmm.
For sophomore levels, you do have your weekend pass. I think junior levels, you get 2 weekend passes. So that's like, it kind of increases. The more you work, the harder you work in your recovery. It gives you the privileges, more privileges. And I think after senior level, you start working, correct, Celeste?
After your sophomore level.
Okay, after your sophomore level.
You can start getting a job outside of Maya's Place and earning an income.
And I think you can also go to school as well. Yeah, that's an option too. Anything that you feel that will help you in your recovery.
Right, absolutely. Celeste, go ahead.
I just want to say too, because when we go through our levels, everyone's program's different. We don't work at the same pace. Like, when you get there as a freshman, it's set to be 30 days. But some girls take 5 weeks, you know, 6 weeks. It depends on who you are. And, some girls are welcome to go to school. You can go to work. You know, it all depends on where you are. And everyone's program's different, though. So you don't work her program, and I don't work their program. You know, so.
Right. You're all on your own schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, we have our own critique plan.
So. But you're working towards the same goals, right? So are all three of you involved in the 12-step program?
Yes.
And so I just want to ask a little bit about that. Some of you are obviously, as Celeste said, further into it than others. You're working at your own paces.
Yes.
But I'm curious how you're feeling different as you're trying to get clean. What about you feels like it's changing? Celeste, go ahead.
I don't know what's different about it this time. Like, last time I went through Maya's place, I just feel stronger this time. Mm. There's something about it because I had a sponsor last time, but I never really worked my 12 steps. So this time I'm like on my fourth step right now, and I have a sponsor. I meet her weekly, and like it's changed my life unanimously. And now I go to church. I'm just like, what? Mm. Like I pray on my knees every morning and night, and wow, it like makes a big difference for the 12 steps.
Yeah. Nia, did you want to say something?
Yes. The feeling, you know, when you do it the first time, it doesn't go as according, you know, like how you want it to be or how you set out it to be or how other people think you should be or whatever. But this is my first time in a recovery, and I've tried recovery on my own. It didn't go so well. But here I have the support that I need, you know. I have sponsors that who have given me their phone numbers and stuff. And it motivates you. And right now where I'm at, I feel like I can continue my life, sober life, and be that independent, encouraged, be courageous. Like, I feel like I could reach the top.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are some of the contributing factors in your life now that are helping you to get clean, helping to inspire you to move forward?
Well, I would say the meetings, the NA meetings, the CA meetings, the AA meetings, you know, even especially the groups with the women who are in the program. Well, it's we're supposed to empower each other and bring each other up to that support level where we can let every other person know, hey, you know, we have your back. If you need anything, let us know. We could do what we can do to help you. But when you're in the meetings, you can hear everyone's stories. Everybody, every individual has their own story, their own past, you know, their path and how they overcome the thresholds and the support that they were given. And the groups, the NA groups, the CA groups, and the AA groups, they empower a lot of people who, the newcomers, and they kind of give them a vision of like, you know, yeah, sober life is good. Yeah, I feel better like this. And you
and
know.
As a newcomer, Calandra, can you speak to that a little bit?
It's pretty intense, I think. But, you know, as far as my birthday, I feel confident. Like, I just have to do, you know, a lot of courage, a lot of...
It seems like there's a good sense of sisterhood. The small amount of time I've spent with the three of you and with the larger group outside of the studio, it seems like you guys have a camaraderie, you have a relationship going. And is that a sense of support? Is that encouraging to have people you can depend on,
yes,
people you
absolutely
can relate to?
Yes.
Yeah. And Celeste, you mentioned going to church. I'm curious how faith plays a role in your journey. And who wants to respond to that?
I will. This is Celeste. I don't know, going to church now, I don't go every Sunday, I try to, but, excuse me, I just being able to pray and know that my higher power has my back, because I give 100% trust in him, and I don't know, just every time I get on my knees and pray, like, it seems like all my problems are just, like, really nothing, because trying to live my life more for my higher power than myself, I'm at that point of, I can't do it on myself, so having that support, knowing that there's 100% somebody on my back.
Absolutely. Nia, do you want to respond to that?
Well, as far as a higher power, you know, I'm a very big believer in, you know, God, and I do go to church. And I did see Celeste go attend church a couple times, and, mm-hmm. you know, I was kind of, like, shocked. And I was like, wow, Celeste is here. Awesome, you know, it was a good day, a good Sunday. And I think a lot of us, you know, encourage each other. You know, I think that Celeste probably had seen all of us, a lot of us go and, you know, come back happy and joyful and stuff. And but as for me, it gives me the how would you say, the encouragement, like, well, having faith and believing, and, you know, it keeps me going. You know, I always pray to God, and I always ask him, you know, to give me the strength to keep moving on through the day, just for today, you know, just keep moving on and get me through the day without thinking about relapsing or trying to make things more complicated than it already is. It's not. But God is a really good, you know, part of my life, and I love it. I like having him there because I feel like I'm never alone. sometimes when you can't see that person there and you're there alone, you might think you're alone, but you'd be surprised once you start praying and get into, you know, that part. It's really like a life-changing thing, you know. God can create miracles, and it does happen.
Yes.
I've seen it myself.
Awesome. Calandra, do you want to respond?
Yes, just to all you listeners out there, you know, I always tell people you know, worry is the opposite of faith. And tomorrow has its worries of itself. And, you know, just have faith out there. And, you know, we all go through hardships, and the higher power is God. Yeah. You know, he'll be right by your side.
That's great. So, ladies, I want to switch gears just a little bit, and I want to talk about some of the challenges in the past, specifically that have stopped you from getting clean in the past, from coming to this place that you are at right now.
Okay, so the past, okay, this is Ardelia speaking. Mm-hmm. What has caused me to relapse before was the life struggles itself. Being depending on your own every single day and waking up early, 5 o'clock, getting ready to be at work at this time. You got to clock in and you got to get through work in order to get through the rest of the day. So once you're through work, when work is over, you're like, good, I'm halfway through. You know, I still have the rest of the day to go complete. And for me, it was school, you know, school. So I was constantly on the move, and I take the bus everywhere. So, and I know a lot of the listeners out there who are listening, they probably do take the bus as well, or maybe get rides or stuff, or maybe even have their own vehicle. But for me, it was a bus, and it was a big struggle because it was time management, time consuming, and you had to get here and be there at a certain time. And for me, it was school and being on a pretrial services. At the time, I had an ankle monitor, so I had to be in my home by a certain time. So I'm like, oh, crap. You know, so once I get out of that class, I gotta go hurry and rush to the bus, and then I got to get over here. And it was crazy. It's really crazy. It's extreme. So it's like every single day, doing that every single day and just having a couple days off, it's a struggle. It gets tiring. You start to get exhausted. You get exhausted. And for me, it was a turning point where I just wanted to give up. I just wanted to give up. You know, I was just like, I'm so tired. I can't do it anymore. I don't have enough energy to do it again. And I relapsed. And I think it was just the stress and the struggles and my priorities and everything that I have in conformity, things that I had to do, that I was required to do. And I had no choice but to do it. So it's a struggle. And that's what had brought me to relapse.
Right. Celeste, what are some of the challenges for you, or what have been some of the challenges in the past?
I got an addictive personality. No. Just a lot of things, like my mentality mostly, because the way I think things are not proper ways to think, I suppose, you know?
What do you mean by that?
So, well, on an average basis, like, out of things I want to do in a day are, like, out of one is not so bad and 10 is, like, the worst, like, blowing people up and stuff, you know? Like, I find triggers to get to, like, an 8, you know, and there's small things, like, just as little as someone yelling, a man yelling at his girlfriend or something like that. Like, that triggers me to a point to where I get pissed off and I want to do something about it. It's not like I really can, you know? So then I take it out on myself, like, oh, I'll show them. Or I get ahead of myself and someone will tell me, oh, you're doing bad. And I'm like, you know what? I'll show you what doing bad is. So I think a lot of the time is, oh, I'll show you. But who did I prove it to other than myself? I think I'm my biggest roadblock of everything. Because I always go back. I don't know why. So this time, like, I just want to do it right. You know, like, I want to work with my sponsor. I never really had a chance to work with a sponsor one-on-one. And like, I give proper thanks to her, and she's all, you're doing all the work. But in all reality, she's doing a lot for me just by helping me and guiding me. And but before my guidance, I didn't really have it. Like, I was a part of the Crossroads family, you know. I had the support. My family is very loving, too. And it's just myself. Like, that's, like, my biggest struggle is me.
We are our worst enemies, right?
Yes. That's very true.
That was a unanimous yes. In case you didn't hear that. Calandra, do you want to speak to that at all?
I was homeless and out on the streets for a couple of years, and it was a pretty tough struggle. Almost, all women out here, I see out there that are going through the same thing, it's kind of very hard for me to say or tell, because I miss my daughter so much, I wish they were with me.
Family's important, yeah?
Yes. I've never got support, really. Like, I've always done everything on my own. I never depended on anybody. Like, I just try to do what I can do to get back on my feet. I know we're not all perfect. We all make mistakes. And like Celeste said, you're doing bad. Okay, like, all right, you want me to show you bad? I went and showed him bad. Like, I did show, people that I was using alcohol and just downfalling. And
thank you for mm-hmm. sharing that. Celeste.
She brought up a good point. Like, my son brings up a lot of things for me too. I think about it every day. But my mom, they live in Mississippi now, so I get to do phone conversations and Skyping with him, and just seeing his little face, like, he's so happy, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't ask for anything more than him to be happy, and I'm very blessed to have my family that does that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys feel like family plays a big role? Family or friendships outside of the program play a big role?
It does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nia, go ahead.
It does. Family, you think about yourself, and then you think about how much, your family does love you and care for you. And some individuals out there who had that problem, that they weren't so close with their family, or they feel like, my family's not even a support, or my family hates me, and all of us are different, just like how Celeste says, we all have our own recovery. And for me, it's different. My family, they don't even live in Albuquerque. My family's in a whole nother state, mm-hmm. just like Celeste. And I have support here. I have my fiance, and I have a couple friends here and there, that I could kind of talk to or whatever, but mainly my fiance. But
I was going to ask you about that. So you're doing a lot of work to take some agency in your own life to further yourself on your own personal journey. And you're also in a committed relationship. And you mentioned to me before we came in how much support you find in that. I'm wondering if you can talk about sort of just the way you navigate taking care of yourself and also being involved in this relationship.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like a multitask. You're kind of multitasking in your life.
Right.
It's kind of like when you're cooking and you're trying to, feed the baby or do the laundry. It's kind of like that, but it's different. Anyhow, so for me, it's, with my probation, the recovery program, and my outside life, outside the recovery program, such as my fiance and life, my family in Arizona, mm-hmm. bills, stuff like that. It can get stressful and get really stressful. Putting your priorities before, so you won't be so stressed, and then be like, oh, you're freaking out. You're at the program. You're like, oh, I got to do this. And but he's there. He takes care of the things that I'm not able to. You understand? Kind of like, how we have our own schedules and stuff. And if I need him to go pay a couple bills and go here and go there, that's what he's there for. He does all that. And he does also give me the motivation and the encouragement to keep going. And he gives me that little talk. He pulls me aside. Hey, you stop doing this. Stop doing that. You can do this. You're tough. You can do it. But it's good. It can get overwhelming sometimes, but I think I got this.
Yeah. And it gives you something to look forward to. He's your fiance, correct?
Yes.
So you're looking toward the future. You're looking forward to a life with him, spent with him. That brings up a question I have. Just what are some of the things as you guys progress through the program that you are looking forward to?
Honest time with my family, for sure. This is Celeste, by the way. I've noticed lately, like, before you think your family time is just all, you know, it's normal. And then after going through my addiction, I've been in addiction for almost 15 years. And a lot of the time it was hidden and I was lying and it was embarrassing. But now it's like when I spend the weekends, I get like 3 to 4 hours on the pass. And I spend it with my family usually every weekend. And my grandparents, just sitting there watching Bewitched with them, you know, is the time is precious. And hanging out with my brother. He's kind of a brat sometimes, but, you know.
Brothers by nature, right?
Yeah. And my grandma Estrada and my dad, too. I've been seeing them lately. And it just feels good to, like, have that back in my life that's honest. You know, it's not me telling lies of what I think I am.
You're claiming who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Calandra, what about you? I know you're pretty new to the program and pretty new to the the process. But I'm sure it's been a busy 4 days you've been here. But tell me a little bit about what you're looking forward to.
Pretty much I'm looking forward to, you know, completing my freshman level to get my phone back and whatever I need. Like, I was telling people, I'm having phone withdrawals.
I bet.
Yeah. I'm like, but, you know, I'm being patient. It takes time. It takes time. And I'm looking forward to be with my family, my daughters, you know. I want to be with my three beautiful daughters. They're everything that revolves around me. And that's my main focus, is to do what I need to do and for myself as well, and to get my daughters to be here with me.
Right. Do you ever fear your freedom as you get closer, further in the program, more closer to independence and self-sufficiency?
Yes.
Nia's nodding. Nia, tell me.
Okay, well, before I was in the program, I did have my freedom. And I was on that peak. I was rising to the peak. Okay, I got this. But, you know, but I got so overwhelmed. And that's one thing that I do fear, you know. Like, I'm, like, one day, you know, I'll just be like, okay, I got this. So, like, overconfident. And I'll tell myself, you got this. You know, you can do it. Just get through the day. And for me, it's like, I keep my circle tight. I only have a very few people who I let in, and as far as me having the support of my fiancé and, you know, my family, I think I'll be okay this time, you know, because I'll have that support there, and vice versa, other way around, you know. It's good, though. I like it. I like having the sisterhood here at Maya's, you know, and after I do complete the program, I do plan on attending meetings with them and meeting up at Crossroads and donate whatever, you know, I can. It's good. I feel great about it.
So you're looking forward to being able to give back to the program.
Yeah, because I understand, you know, the struggles that, you know, every individual has as a sisterhood being here in the program. And, you know, some of us, we do need things, and some of them, they don't. You know, some of them, they're struggling to get the things that they need done or just those type of things. But I'm okay. I think everything will be good so far, you know. As long as we all have each other and empower each other, I think afterwards, everything will be fine because we'll all have that sisterhood.
Calandra, do you fear your freedom?
Yes, I do. I do. I'm going to admit I do. It's hard, you know, especially the people you knew that I knew out there, you know, being out on the streets and homeless and just the environment and the hood, no?
The atmosphere.
The atmosphere. We're on the Southeast area, you know, like, right. I did some crazy things there. but yes, I'm afraid of my freedom. Like, you know, I don't want to go back to custody. You know, like, it's just very hard. But
it's a struggle.
It's a struggle, you know. This time it's a big slap in my face. Like, I got to do it, you know. I got to do it for myself. And as much, I get a lot of support from my mom, I do. I love you, Mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just.
Great. Celeste, do you fear your freedom?
Oh, yeah. I have, I had my freedom for a while, you know, yeah. And I had my own place, my own car, and sure enough, I got into a relationship, and you have that freedom, and you don't know, like, when you have your family with you, and then all of a sudden, you get this gut feeling because someone makes you feel beautiful, or they make you feel that little bit of, I don't know what that is that you feel.
Self-worth.
But, yeah. And, I put everything into that, and I risked my entire freedom for that. And, like, I can't blame anybody but myself, but I'm scared. Like, I'm definitely scared. Like, when I was getting close to getting kicked out of jail, I was like, what am I going to do, you know? Luckily, Miss Corey, you know, was there. And my probation officer is actually very inspirational to me, too, because she's just like, you can do this, you know? You've done this before. And, the structure. Without the structure, I don't know what I would be. Because when I was incarcerated, like, I'm a weirdo. And it's nerve-wracking. It is, just to think about it. Because I even told my PO, like, I saw her last month, and I was like, what am I going to do when I'm done with her? She's like, don't freak out, you know? I was like, what am I going to do with my time? Like, I have groups, like, 5 hours a day, you know? So I don't want to just sit there and twiddle my thumbs, because that's when I start getting that alone time with myself, the boring thoughts start thinking, and you think of what to do with these thoughts, and that's where it's at. Like, the freedom is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Having too much time on your hands.
Yes. Like, yeah. Definitely. Like, just trying to fulfill it. Like, the second I can work, I'm going to work, you know. So I'm looking forward to that.
Right.
But at this program, they give you a little bit of more freedom as you go.
Right. And what do you do with some of those free periods? That's to all of you.
I think when you get to that privileged stage, when you do have your freedom and you're ready, you know, when the program says you're ready, you're ready. And you're like freaking out, like, oh, wow, what do I do with all this freedom, you know? Like, I have all this time. And I say the best thing to do is just cut all ties with people you had in your past that you had when you were an addict or whatever. So that way you can fill in your freedom, your time, your extra time, because this program, it keeps you busy every day, busy, busy, busy. And when you get your freedom, you have to somehow fill that spare time with something productive to keep you going and just keep you busy, keep your mind off of wandering around or taking the wrong turn. And it's like Celeste says, you know, work. I don't know, school maybe.
You're hoping to go back to school, correct?
Oh, yes, definitely, most definitely. Yeah, that's something that I'm going to totally accomplish.
And what are you going to study?
I wasn't very, very good in school, so I didn't get to finish. I didn't get my diploma. So,
your high school diploma.
So right now I'm ready to achieve my GED. So that's what I'm going to school for, and then after that I'm going to continue school. You know, my long-term goal is to, like, straight master's degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I plan on being, like, a labor nurse, you know, or, I don't know, a psychologist maybe, hopefully, you know, or even maybe just a counselor. That'd be great, because I do like talking with other addicts who have that struggle, the same lifestyle, you know, and overcoming it, like, what did you have to do? Just like how you're here today, you know, you're like, how did you overcome this? And how, but it's exciting, you know. I think about it sometimes, and that's how I think, you know, to fill in your time.
So I just want, you shared a little bit with me. I'm wondering if you can share a little bit more about some of the lowest points, some of the hardest times, maybe not specifically, but how you were feeling in those times and what you were telling yourself to keep yourself moving. Celeste.
A lot of my hard times, of course, were self-acted, but being in abusive relationships is like my thing for some reason. And because that one person gives you that little bit, and then you start thinking, oh, it's okay, you know, they love me, or they give you that apology, and you're like, oh, okay, come back. And the while when I ran away from my apartment at Crossroads, you know, I was staying pretty much on the streets and at people's houses, and it sucked because it's cold, especially in the wintertime, and when you're on the streets, you don't really think about it. I remember walking down San Mateo and seeing people laying on the bus benches with all their stuff, and it would be extremely sad to see because I didn't have anything to give them. I didn't have anything to help them, so I was at that point to where I want to do something for this. Like, in my free time when I get up, I want to do more peer support groups because for some reason that helps me. Mm. And I don't know, just a lot of the hard time, like, I wrecked too many cars, you know, and thinking that I can handle my life and my situations, but I start acting stupid, and I don't know, it's a horrible feeling to know that you're knocking yourself down, because we put ourselves in the dirt, and you bury yourself pretty good, and it's harsh, but I mean, it's something we all can grow from, you know?
Yeah. Calandra, talk to me about some of the low points.
I can totally relate with Celeste. I've been through that, but not wrecking cars.
A different story.
Yes. Homeless, being out in the streets was a definite struggle for me.
What were some of the thoughts going through your head while you were living on the streets?
My family, like my friends, they were probably thinking of me like, oh, she's doing bad, and sometimes bad compliments from other people I knew from the past tell me, you know, you can do better, you know, you're a beautiful woman, you know, just, you know, why are you out here like this? And I tell them the truth, you know, I chose to, you know, like, but just being out there is, I don't know what I put myself through. I don't know. I was in an abusive relationship. Alcohol was involved as well. I was a pretty heavy addict as well. It just took me to the wrong path. And, you know, I learned from my mistakes. I'm learning from it now.
Yeah, it's a continuous journey, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were telling me before we walked into the studio the story about how you used to make special trinkets and things to sell on the street for the holidays. You make things. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. I used to work at Dollar Tree. I was there for a couple of years, and I'd just look at these mugs people were buying. Customers would come in, buy, you know, like Valentine mugs, or, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends buying each other things. And I kind of thought to myself, okay, maybe I could buy me a few things, or more than a few, and I got me some chocolate and mugs, teddy bears, roses, anything I can think of just to make carnations. And, you know, I brought up this, I was just being creative, I guess. I was very creative. I like, you know, to decorate and everything. So I made these coffee mugs with teddy bears and chocolates, and I bought my own too hot glue and everything. So I just kind of put all the puzzles together, and just, you know, it came out nice, and it was pretty nice. Like, I took them out to the streets and I sold them. There was a vendor that wanted to buy my whole carnations, whatever, and I said nope,
because you're doing it on your own.
Yes, I'm trying to make my own profit. So, like, yeah, I also made Mother's Day's, you know, bouquets, and yeah, it was awesome. Like, it was the first time I've done that was last year. It was pretty cool.
So it sounds like even in some of the lowest points and the hardest times, you were tapping into your creativity, you were tapping into yourself, and you were trying to share some joy, share some love. That's totally awesome. That's great. Nia, do you want to talk about some of your lowest points?
The lowest points I had were in my past, growing up, maybe having to struggle to deal with my family who have, you know, alcoholism and trying to get to school, juvenile probation, just all that, going in and out of jail all the time, fighting at school. You know, I had a really bad past, but I've decided to overcome all that, let the past go, and just keep going.
Embrace the future.
Yeah, as a positive person, and, you know, kind of changing my ways, being a lot nicer. Because I can be mean, but I'm trying my best. And some people can see it in me and some don't. Some are like, you're just the same. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But, you know, I've overcome a lot of stuff. And I want everyone out there to know that you can do it. If you think about it and you kind of strategize on how you're going to do it, what's the most important thing you need to fix in your life, you know, fix it. It's possible. And don't just sit there and dwell on it. Just, you know, you have to do it in order for it to happen.
Right.
And, you know, that's what had happened with me. I've thought about it a lot of times. I'm like, I wish my life was like this, and I wish my life was like that. And why can't I be like this? And I'm like, I kind of thought to myself one day, I'm like, stop thinking about it, just do it. And, you know, my mom always tell me, nobody's not going to come and bring you coffee in the morning or stuff like that. I'm the youngest. I'm the baby in my family, so I kind of got used to, you know, everybody doing things for me and stuff. But I know what she meant by that, so I kind of carry that on every day. Like, there's some points in your life, you're gonna have to have that extra person there to do something for you or bring you up and
support you.
Yeah, support you. You know, somebody that means a lot to you. Basically, but other than that, you know, if you don't have that person, just go to God. God's always there. He never leaves you alone, ever. You know, he's always there for you.
Just one final question, because that's all that we have time for. I want you each just to give me one thing, one aspect of your life right now that is helping you to move forward, that is inspiring you. Celeste, let's start with you.
Crossroads for Women, of course.
Yeah, right answer. Calandra.
Mine's placing, you know, Crossroads. Yeah, I recommend it to everybody that's, you know, doing hard times out there, you know, that have nowhere to go and, you know, that needs help and recovery. I recommend you guys to come to Crossroads, apply for Crossroads.
Great. Nia?
I have a few Crossroads. Mine's place. If you are struggling, you know, like, you're at that point where you're just sick of what you're doing. You need help to be recovered, and it's possible. All the people who are out there listening, if you know people out there who are struggling, who are having a hard time, let them know. You know, Crossroads is here for women, and it's good. It's really, it's awesome. There's nothing bad I could say about Crossroads. And just think of your kids, if you have kids. Your motivation.
That's a great transition. Just to end, Calandra would like to read a poem that she... No?
No, I actually don't have it with me. Oh, I don't remember it by heart. I wish I did, but, you know, I have a lot.
It's a lot of things to
yes,
keep track of.
And I also journal, you know, and so, like, yes, it's just a lot of words that I can't remember.
Right. So Calandra's going to share with us just one final word.
To close off with a couple of words, yeah. But to all you listeners out there, you know, I know we are all worth all the hardships and pain involved in this venture. I truly hope that you all get to listen with an open heart and with optimism that can clear the worst blizzard you encounter. I also like to make a shout out to my family, friends, and all the ladies at Crossroads at my place.
Thank you, Calandra. Yeah. Thank you, Celeste.
Can I add one thing? I just want to say, I'm sorry the Hope Girls couldn't come, the Hope House Girls, but maybe we'll get them on here next time because we still love everybody and all our programs.
It's a strong sisterhood.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you all for joining me. This has been Women's Focus. I'm Taya J, and we are going to transition now. Thank you, ladies.
Peace.
Thank you.
Thank you.